This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on The Escape Hour. This is Joy 94.9's food and travel show. You're here today with Russ and Stefan, who is on the panel. We're talking two things today. We're going to be talking about travelling in Gippsland, and we're also going to be eating lots of garlic.
Today we're really privileged to have David Jones, who is the chair of the Minion Garlic Festival and the Minion and the Garlic Board, I think.
Member of the Australian Garlic Industry.
And so, yes, David, what's... So you're based in Gippsland?
Yes, that's right. South Gippsland, in a little hamlet called Merboo.
And Menion is in Gippsland?
It is. Last time we checked, we did a poll of the 700 people who live there, and they decided they were in Gippsland.
They wanted to be part of Gippsland. Yeah, they did. Great.
Do you call yourself Gippslanders?
Yes, and we have a fantastic publication called, which I would look out for when you visit our part of the world, called Gippslandia.
Gippslandia.
It's a really creative publication. Comes out quarterly. It's like a big broadsheet that tells stories of, you know, innovation, of arts, of rebirth, of really encouraging entrepreneurship in the region. And I think it's really, I suppose it's changing. And often Melburnians will think of Gippsland as somewhere that's a long way away. Well, because it does go a long way, but it actually starts about 65 kilometres from Melbourne.
Yeah, so it's not that far away when you think about it. And so Gippslandia, aka part of Victoria, is very accessible for us Melburnians, isn't it, these days? So
it is, and I think it's also changing, because Gippsland was essentially, at least when I was a kid, not so long ago, maybe a long time ago. We won't talk about that.
We won't go into that.
It was the place where there was amazing coastline. You'd go down to Lake's Entrance and you'd, you know, play in the 90 Mile Beach, or you'd go to Wilson's Prom. So the region was really seen as being at least a day's drive to get to the coastal areas or into the Alps. And now we're seeing, I suppose, the emergence of... the eat-drink culture, the foodie culture. We're seeing amazing growth in the number of wineries. Pinot and Chardonnay are probably it's a bit like the coastal varieties. And we're just seeing that start to blossom, almost like the Yarra Valley we've yet to discover.
No, I was going to say, so it's not all about the Mornington Peninsula, the Yarra Valley. There's another world for Melburnian. And do Melburnians go there?
Well, it's a challenge, I think, to often encourage Melburnians to leave, you know, the great diversity we have in this city. But Visit Victoria Tourism Board identified that 52% of Melburnians hadn't visited a regional centre in Victoria in the last 12 months. But what we do see is that really thriving small towns, some will know Briagalong in the sort of northeast, our little town of Menion, which is thriving now, at, you know, a town of 700 people with an architect's practice, a winemaker in business, jewellers, amazing sculpture gardens, sculpture parks, and we're seeing that people are starting to really explore the small towns as distinct from the natural beauty. And I will give one publication a plug, which I'd suggest anybody who wants to look at visiting Gippsland, restaurants, wineries, cheesemakers. It's called Eat Drink Gippsland, and you can pick up a copy at any of the foodie places that you would visit in the region, or to have a review before you travel. The information centre at the Town Hall and in Williamstown have these books. Really, they're a foodie's guide to our part of the world.
And we've really become foodies, haven't we, in this day and age? We're always looking for that taste that we can't find anywhere else. Yeah. And it's good to hear that Gippsland has jumped on that bandwagon.
And local producers, I think there's probably a lot of things produced.
Well, traditionally it was, you know, dairy, being one of the dairy centres. Now we're seeing avocado groves, huge olive groves. The avocados that we have are a creamier, sort of denser texture than the avocados from Queensland, but growing very effectively. a colleague of ours, Barry Charlton, left school at 12, became a cheesemaker, and he's now in Berry's Creek, which where he lives, his brand, and rated in the top 10 blue cheeses in the world, and that's made down in Fish Creek in South Gippsland. So we're finding that incredible talents are now coming to the fore, and I think regional festivals and major events are a great showcase of a region's produce.
I think, you know, I haven't been to Gippsland for many moons. I will own up to that. I had friends who owned a holiday shack in a place called Poowong down in Gippsland. And
thriving hamlet?
It is a thriving hamlet. And, you know, what we used to like about going down there for the weekend, that it's not far to Bush, which gave you that sense that you have got away for the weekend. The local pub served amazing food, and it's just a getaway from the big bad city, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
And I think one of the charms, thinking of Poowong, that's sort of in South Gippsland, it's probably, you know, 100 kilometres direct from the CBD of Melbourne. Adjacent to Poowong is a town called Lock, and one of the highlights would recommend people had a taste of is the Lock Gin, which is now world acclaimed, the Lock Scotch and the Lock Vodka, and the brewery there. It's basically a large converted, you know, late 1800s brick bank building, and it's a gem. It's a gem of a place to visit, and it's an hour from centre of town.
So, David, if you were me, for example, and you were going to plan a long weekend to Gippsland, what would be your idyllic itinerary for me to jump in my car on a, say, lunchtime Friday and be back Monday evening?
Ooh, that's a really curveball. That's a tough one. But I'll throw a few suggestions in. Yeah. One would be to pick out a couple of wineries to visit, and I would probably head straight to Cannibal Creek. I'd head straight to Hoggett Kitchen and Wild Dog Winery near Warrigal. Mm-hmm. Trevor Perkins is an amazing chef, and you may be able to score some dinner with Trevor on a Friday evening. I'm not sure whether he's open at the moment for dinner, but at least go and have an experience Hoggett Kitchen. I would probably travel south from there and maybe stay at five-star accommodation, very little of it in regional Victoria. Mm. There's a place called Campania of Menian. No real plugs, but it's novel because there's four five-star suites in a little country town. Mm. I would get up in the morning very, very early and take a 40-kilometre drive from Menian through Fish Creek to a Hoddle Range where you could see sunrise over Wilson's Prom, just stunning. So, of course, you've got to organise the weather and the clouds and all those things. But we can do that in Gippsland. We can organise these things.
That's right. It's nothing like here in Melbourne, is it?
It's better weather.
But idyllic sunrise is going to be there when I go. Yeah,
not a problem. No clouds on Wilson's Prom. No, nothing at all. But then I would probably head north. Actually, what I would do is, after I'd seen sunrise and I had a fantastic night, I would then pick up Eat, Drink, Gippsland, because it's not a long distance between the small towns and the great places to explore.
And these are little towns, aren't they, that people can go and explore. And each of them are very unique. They've all got their own little pub, their own little community. And what you're trying to let us city dwellers know is that you should come and visit. There's things to see and do.
And you can actually get really good coffee. Outside of this boundary of the city.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think everybody's going to go now as soon as you... That's a key phrase.
Yes, well, look, it is... it's something that we have noticed in the last 5 years. My wife and I got involved in the town of Menian about 5 or 6 years ago. We moved to Gippsland 8 years ago to grow garlic, as you do. And what we've noticed is that not only has the quality of coffee and service really moved a lot in the last 5 to 6 years, also small things like we'd go to the local supermarket and you couldn't get local produce.
Right.
And we were wondering about this until we sat down with an onion farmer who got an old piece of paper out and a pencil and said, here's the economics of me delivering my onions on my ute to the local supermarket. And it didn't make sense. Now, the whole scene has changed. There's local produce specialty stores, there's the smaller, you know, grocery shops are actually looking to bring in as much local produce. And yeah, we think you can taste the difference.
Now, I know Jodie Wilmer, who used to be the producer and presenter of another version of The Escape Hour, and she was on Joy for 15 years, and her partner, Robert, have done a sea change to Gippsland, and they only did that last year, and obviously think it's the best thing that they've ever done. You've done it as well. Why? What is it about that area that is now drawing Melburnians to get up and get out?
Well, I suppose the... You know, I'm very familiar with and love both the Bellarine Peninsula, where I spent my late teens trying to ride a surfboard and you know, have a good time, and my earlier teens and parts of my 20s on the Mornington Peninsula. And I think we're seeing both those areas become, you know, quite heavily populated. They are almost extensions of the same crowd you'd have coffee with, you know, in Brunswick, you'd meet down at Rye or Sorrento or something. And I think people are now saying, well, this is only, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes further on. It's not as busy. It's a bit more raw, a bit more earthy. And yet there is still amazing, you know, cultural activities. We now have an annual opera event partnering with Opera Australia in Menin. It's smaller towns are really punching above their weight culturally and with music, the arts and craft.
Now, you said you were an old surfer. I grew up at at Port Arlington and would you know, throw my board
right
in.
Right, the big waves of Port Arlington.
Well, there weren't many, let me tell you. But I'd throw my board in at Bell's and over at Barwon Heads, and we used to have a great time. What are the beaches like in Gippsland? That's going to get a lot of our listeners down there for sure.
Beach and coffee.
I think one of the real beauties of the area is to, when you do start to go east, you know, southeast from Phillip Island, you get down to Inverloch, and it's a beautiful place. One of the ones that I love is really from Cape Liptrap, when looking around Waratah Bay down to Wilson's Prom. It is just a stunning piece of bass boat.
So they're white sand,
not the biggest surf in the world, like Bell's Beach for us, but it is just a joyful place to be.
That's nice. Lovely. Well, and the jewel, and we will come back and talk this after our break, the jewel of Gippsland, I think, is Wilson's Prom, but you may be able to correct me there.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
We have been talking to David, who's talking about David Jones from the Menin Garlic Festival. Before we went to break, we did... touch on the jewel of Gippsland. Well, I think it's the jewel of Gippsland, which is Wilson's Prom. So we'll go back to that, and then we're going to talk all things garlic. So, David, what are your views on that beautiful prom you've got there?
Look, I just get amazed every time I see it, and I've been fortunate that, without weaving garlic into too much of the conversation, I have been growing garlic with a friend in a collaboration near Walkerville, Cape Liptrap. And so every day that I'm down there on the farm tending that, I can look straight across the bay and see the prom. And what you see, it's a bit like Ayers Rock, that experience of the different lights and the impact of the sun and the climate around it. Yes. It is just an ever-changing, you know, visual experience, even from 50 kilometres away. But then to spend time there is... it's something I'd like to do more of, but we don't get right into the prom as much as we should.
So how did you get to grow garlic in Gippsland?
You have a partner who decides it's time for a career change.
Right.
Yes. And she said to me, what do you want to do in 5 years' time? And I said, don't really know. And she said, well, I want to grow garlic. And I said, and it was one of those things. She had walked past down the street at Blackburn, where we lived, by the railway station, and never normally looked at newsagents, but there was a a Weekly Times. We never read the Weekly Times. Now we do. And it was a picture of Simon Illingworth, that he was a former policeman who was growing garlic in Western Victoria.
Right.
And she said, well, wow, I'd really like to, as a kid, she'd spent a bit of time on farms, and she said, I'd like to explore this as the next career.
Oh.
So we compromised for a few years. I would stay in town 4 days a week and come down on the weekends, mm-hmm. and I'd give them a list of things to do. Chase the cows, do this, do that. And good. You know, clean out the chook shed. And then I suppose for me it became more of a passion. I started to understand a lot more about growing and mm-hmm. about working with soil, and realised how, you know, after coming in as a bit of an alien on the land, you can start to smell good soil, and you can realise when you are improving soil through your management practice, through putting nutrients back in, replacing what you take out. And, you know, I used to see old farmers pick up a handful of soil and sniff it, and I used to think, there's some sort of conjuring going on here. But now I see myself doing the same thing.
You do that now. But,
my head would take me straight to, I wonder if they're wondering if a cow has pooed on it or something. That's maybe where I go with it.
Or how long ago the cow pooed on it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the foot test, I think, to use that one.
But how did you pick your farm? I mean, it was... So you, in the break you were talking about weather in Gippsland in particular.
Yes.
What's the story about your search for this idyllic place to live?
Well, we were looking for somewhere with a consistent high rainfall, and Gippsland, South Gippsland in particular, has about 1 to 1.2 metres of rain. This was in year 8 of what we call the 10-year drought, and there was still rainfall in Gippsland. We also looked in the Cape Otway area, but it was just that fact that it was where we were looking was less than 2 hours if the Monash behaves itself from the CBD.
Yep.
So for me it was sort of commutable, and we looked for north facing land, we looked for rich good soil, and we were only looking for 10 acres because we wanted to grow probably half an acre to an acre of garlic. Then we started that journey of growing and scratching your head, and 3 or 4 years later you still haven't got a good crop and you're wondering what you're doing wrong. And the answer is everything, or actually one big mistake every year. And for 4 years, we just battled. We, at that stage, the Garlic Industry Association was just reforming, and there wasn't a body of knowledge because the industry had really been decimated with free trade when a lot of the farmers who were growing garlic just got out of it because, you know, the prices plummeted. People didn't understand that imported garlic was treated very poorly.
I was going to ask because it's very difficult to find Australian garlic in supermarkets.
It has been, but
there's a lot of Chinese garlic.
Biggest producer in the world, I found in my research today.
So what would be the difference? I mean, I know there's.
Okay, well, I'll give
got
you a quick snapshot.
Yes.
90% or 80% of garlic in Australia is imported. And from an industry perspective, we respect the fact that the food processing sector that make the garlic product is an input into processed foods, we will never compete as an industry. So we put that to one side. But as far as culinary garlic is concerned, the issue we have is that every garlic product that's brought into Australia is treated with methyl bromide, which some will see as a potential carcinogen.
Yep.
There are also matters of the soil health of the parts of China where garlic is grown, the fertilising and farming practice, nutrients.
Yeah, I was reading
it's a different product.
Some of it is grown in around sewage and all this kind of thing.
Well,
and
there aren't those controls. There's no quality control, whereas we have beautiful clean soil, great farming practices, and we are now seeing, an emergence. It's interesting, the largest growing areas are the Lockyer Valley in South Queensland and Sunraysia, where it's very both dry, warm climates, whereas we're finding that many of the garlics that probably originally came out with the Snowy Mountain scheme work. Often the ones you'll see in the supermarket or the farmer's market they're a chunky purple striped. They're called a turban or a Monaro purple. Monaro because that's where the family settled, Eden Monaro area. For the Snowy scheme, they brought their garlic with them. And so many of the 300 cultivars of garlic that are available or identifiable in Australia will have come from those early migration waves.
Ah, okay. You mentioned the 4 years with good and bad and mixed results.
Oh gosh!
Could you believe that you were making those mistakes? I mean, were they wee mistakes that were in your face, and you thought, "Damn, I wish I hadn't have done that."
Well, a few of them were, but when we started learning about garlic, we joined the industry association, and the old hands would say, "It'll take you 5 years to get a good commercial crop," and to those who just plunk a few cloves in the garden bed and hopefully don't overwater them. And
well, I think I can't do it. A plant, it grows and then it disappears and I can never find the garlic. Mm.
So. I think there's probably therapeutic help you need
in that.
We had to learn by mistake. So we planted too deep. The garlic didn't like the dampness. We didn't have the beds because we've got quite heavy clay loam soil. Mm. We didn't have the beds raised enough, so the soil was too damp for too long. The varieties we were growing weren't really suited to our climate. So there was a whole procession of things that seemed to hit us every year. And then my wife was about to give up, and she said, "Look, this is a crazy." But she entered some garlic in the Australian Fine Food Awards, and she won a silver medal. Never seen anyone dance around the farm as much as she did.
That's a confidence boost for you. The cows were most offended.
And from that on, I think what an old friend did tell us was about 3 years ago. He was helping us with harvest, and he said, "David, you two have finally developed a farming system. Mm-hmm. You've got a set of methods that you've learnt. Don't do this, do this. Put nutrients here, do that." And it was a case of learning a system and designing your own system to suit your microclimate and your soil.
Fantastic. Now, the real reason that we're here today, or one of the real reasons, is to talk about this magnificent Meenyan Garlic Festival that's coming up next weekend down in Meenyan. How did it start, David?
How did it start? One person had a good idea.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't me. But she said to me, "We should do a garlic festival." And I knew what that meant. That meant you should go and think about it. So I thought about it and it popped online and looked at garlic festivals worldwide and the world's biggest food festivals at Gilroy in California, Northern California, 120,000 people going for 40 years. The Isle of Wight, seeing it's a travel show, we'll travel to the Isle of Wight.
Beautiful.
Because they also have a garlic festival.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so we looked at that and then thought, a festival needs a home. If we're going to have one in Australia, it needs to be an off-Broadway launch, so we won't do it in the Yarra Valley. Yeah. So we took the idea to a town meeting in Meenyan, which is just 24 k's from where we live. And I'd done one of these PowerPoint presentations, and of course, that I think it scared the living daylights out of all the people.
Who is this guy?
what's he on? And then it was a case of people got on board, and I think the thinking is that realised that the garlic festival really is a showcase of the produce, the great food, and the great culinary skills of many of Gippslandians, and through the lens of garlic, our jam producers, our honey producers, not only showcase their product, but they also create a hero product. So we'll have garlic jam, garlic vodka, garlic beer, garlic ice cream.
Goodness me.
And before you feel violently ill, you need to know is that once you take a clove of garlic and you chop chop the top and tail off it, and mix it up, take the skin off, and put in some salt and some sugar. Crush it in the mortar and pestle, you really open up the rich, fragrant flavours.
And that's the best way to get the flavour out of garlic, isn't it? By chopping it into fine...
Or getting the mortar and pestle, ideally just crushing it, breaking open the garlic rather than slicing it up into small, uncrushed bits. So recommend using a mortar and pestle or something similar. A hammer could be useful, but I'd probably go for the mortar and pestle.
Okay, so we need to go to a break. We're going to come back in just a second because I want to learn more about... garlic ice cream and garlic vodka.
That sounds
tasty.
Sounds great.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9, your food and travel show. You are here with me, Russ, and the lovely Stefan.
Hello.
Our other cohorts are away today. We're talking to David Jones about the Minyan Garlic Festival. David, this thing has turned into bigger than Ben-Hur for you, has it not?
Well, it's exciting because we did look at how the Americans did it and how the Poms did it. Then we said, how do you run a garlic festival in a town of 600 people? And the great thing was that the town and the wider communities got behind it. So we have a scarecrow. There's a whole lot of scarecrows that were made two years ago.
Made out of garlic? Oh.
And not made out of garlic, but they appear two weeks before the festival across the town.
Yeah.
A number of the people have taken over particular parts of it. So rather than having jumping castles, we have three-legged races, piggyback races, sack races, garlic and spoon races. So a whole lot of silly things. But it's traditional fun.
Yes.
We have a billy cart Grand Prix.
Oh.
We have sheaf tossing. Now, sheaf, as in nothing to do with the sheep.
Yeah.
But a traditional rural show activity was to pick up a sheaf of wheat. A small bit, and you've got to flick it across a very high bar.
Oh.
So one of our potato farmers, Roy Beaumont, has said to us, why don't we have a sheaf toss? It's a competitive rural game.
I'm hearing you.
Leave your caber at home. Bring your fork. And so is that we have essentially a lot of traditional fun things for young and old to do. Then we have what we call our garlic market, where we'll have 4 tonnes of garlic, 16 growers from across Victoria, as well as some demonstrations on smoking garlic, plaiting garlic, just some one-on-one tips, chance to talk to growers about how you do this.
So if I come to your festival, will I learn how to grow garlic a bit more successfully than I'm doing it at the moment?
Yes, I can guarantee that, because you could actually come to the Garlic Institute and hear one of our six speakers.
Uh-huh.
We've turned the old Mechanics Institute into a garlic institute for a day.
So that's all year round? For the day. Oh, lovely.
A one day focus on learning.
On learning how to, so what best species to plant?
Yeah, what to plant where, which goes well, what the timing, because there are early season, mid season and late season garlics.
How to water it?
Not to water it. Not in the last month. Needs to dry out so that the bulb can grow and cure and lose a lot of the moisture.
But how do you know it's the last month?
We've got a thing called a calendar in South Gippsland.
I don't think we've got this kind of thing.
The garlic calendar.
Look, what you do know is basically when a garlic plant is mature, you'll start to see some drying off of the outer leaves, and that is often a sign that. And then you will scratch the surface away, the dirt, and you'll feel that the plant is bulbed up, and you'll start to feel some ridges in the outside of the plant. Then you put it back to bed, cover up the dirt. At that stage, when you start to see the bulb swelling, it's time to say, whoa, it's got enough moisture of its own. It doesn't need any help from mum and dad. No more water in the last month.
Mm.
And then it's a matter of that fine judgment of when exactly to dig it out of the ground.
Mm.
And that typically depends with maybe two or three green leaves left and very, very clear defined ridging when you just have a look at the bulb. Then it's about time to take it out and hang it out of the sun in a nice drafty, cool place.
Lovely.
Now, David, the CWA Garden Garlic Scones, I should say. What else can the people expect food-wise with our garlic festival?
I suppose expect everything that you would see at a traditional food festival with, the beautiful small goods and the chocolates, all the artisan foods. But each of our producers is creating a garlic hero product. So we have the cricket club from Meany and Dumbork United are having garlic beer, where we have a special garlic additive. You can have standard super or supreme, and you put that into the glass and it just completely transforms the beer.
Wow.
You can have Gase garlic scones. You could have garlic fries, garlic jam, garlic ice cream. And the garlic actually is, it's almost a nutty, rich flavour that adds to the vanilla ice cream.
Is garlic ice cream nice? I can't imagine.
Well, but we're on our third year. We've got a different recipe each year, and it certainly is really is a hit. And garlic milkshakes as well.
Oh, garlic milkshakes. Now you're talking. See, I think I'd be there for the garlic milkshake and the garlic scones. Perhaps some garlic vodka as well. What do you think?
Garlic vodka, I wouldn't mind trying. Just, garlic scones. Not ice cream, I don't know. I mean, it's just...
But what you have is if you break open the garlic, so we've opened up the flavour. We don't have the bitterness.
Yep.
We've put in the salt and the sugar, and so we've blended the flavour. Then that gets beaten into the ice cream with a bit of vanilla, not vanilla essence, but the high quality vanilla product.
Yeah.
And that just really rounds out the vanilla flavour. It's quite tasty.
Yeah, so it kind of brings out the flavour rather than overpowering the...
Yeah, it doesn't sort of whack you in the back of the palate, no.
With the garlic. So we've got... I think we've got somebody's texted in.
Oh, Brad, you're a bit of a character. This is Brad's message, everybody. Thank you for the message, Brad. Smoking garlic. So his question is, it must be hard to roll the fresh garlic into papers to smoke it, or do you use dry garlic? So, you know...
I think it's misconstrued, the smoking.
I think, I don't think you've... listened properly, Brad.
Well, I'm not surprised. But if you want to smoke garlic, I can say to you...
You can.
You get four bulbs of garlic... You slice the tops off, the top, just you take off the remaining neck and probably the top 5% of each clove, so you're opening up the clove. You get 4 tablespoons of sugar. You get a tablespoon of salt for the smoking of the garlic and a tablespoon of olive oil. And you can put that in your smoking oven, or you can put it in your oven, and it'll give you... It's called hot smoking, so you do it for an hour at a medium temperature, and that just really gives you a soft flavour.
What would you do with smoked garlic then? Just use it in cooking, or...?
You could put it... You could put it into butter, slightly melted butter, and whip that into
popcorn.
So the garlic butter would be a good idea.
Yes.
You could put it on anything you like.
Now, lovely. David, we do have to go to our last break in the hour. When and where is this amazing festival on?
It's on Saturday, the 16th of February. It's in the town of Menian, which is 140 kilometres southeast of Melbourne. Lots of parking, lots of things to do, accommodation, good place to stay, explore South Gippsland. It's $10 for adults, and it's just a great day of entertainment. And look, just hop onto meniangarlicfestival.com.au and you can plan your day at the festival.
It sounds good.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9, your food and travel show. I tell you what, we have been shoveling garlic scones and garlic ice cream and you name it, it's garlic. It's going into our mouths because we're heading to the Menian Garlic Festival.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday it is for short. Now, did you know, Stefan and David, you will know a lot of this, David, because you're an expert, but garlic is good for cold sores, for splinters, for athlete's foot. I saw a picture on my research today where you just throw a whole heap of garlics into a bucket and you put your feet in there and that's supposed to cure athlete foot.
Oh.
And it's also good if you're a farmer and you've got cows that are having challenges lactating, you can use garlic and a whole range of medicinal purposes.
I just couldn't believe some of the things. It's used as a pesticide. You can put it into into some water, into a spray can, and that'll get rid of your mozzies, which I thought was really interesting. You know, the average person in our country eats a kilo of garlic a year. I didn't know it was quite that much. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, and I'd like to meet more average people, I think.
Well, my partner, he sort of throws garlic in everything over the winter months, and I don't know what's in there, but we're talking about great big cloves that throws in the meal, and I'm not a cook, so I just sit there and shovel it all in and love it, and then get to work the next day, and everybody's saying, "Oh, poor, he's done it again. You smell like garlic." It's an acquired taste, but garlic's also good. It's got lots of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, so it's quite a healthy. Reduces your cholesterol. So I mean, the list of things it does. Oh, the two things that I found really interesting. It can cure acne problems, so you wipe it all over your face. I'd take that as the way to cure acne. And the other thing that I found interesting, and this is good for me because I'm a middle-aged man who's, you know, has follicle issues. You rub it all over your hair and it makes your hair grow longer again. So,
what What about the smell?
We should have some more things like that at the festival.
I'm happy to come.
We can have a hair studio at the festival.
Maybe that's next year's.
Yes,
aim
next year's
is to have
a hero product.
Hairdresser and then do some hair.
Forget hair the salad makeup. Dressings hair and the hair dressings.
Yeah. Garlic hair and makeup. We're going
garlic hair.
We'll be done. Oh, before we do go, we were going to ask you another question, but the other thing that you told us today that I wanted to let our viewers know that you have a Mardi Gras in Meenyan every year.
Well, it started in 2018 when Marty Thomas, a great local identity, has Moose Restaurant, and he turned 50, and a whole lot of folks came to town, and everybody was dressed in the Mardi Gras spirit.
Yeah.
Even the 70 and 80 year old locals were really getting into it.
They got dressed up for Mardi Gras.
Did they ever? And they had so much fun. Everyone's in costume. Some of the guys were a bit outrageous, but that's okay.
Well, and did you have floats and tractors?
There was one float where the king and queen were there.
Yes,
weren't sure who was who, but they were both there, it was a trailer with some hay bales and gold material draping it, and a tractor pulled it up and down around the town three times, and everyone cheered.
Well, David, I can tell you that the Meenyan Mardi Gras made the news here in Melbourne, and I would imagine that would have been enough to get a few of our listeners down for this year's festival.
Well, come back, guys.
We're David Jones, has been a fun show having you on today. We know so much about garlic.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.